Okay, I have a couple of texts for you to start with here this morning. First of all, Psalm 29, Book of Psalms 29, and then if you would as well, John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Psalm 29, starting with verse 1. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord's glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due to His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And then notice, the voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Syrian, like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve, and discovereth the forests, and in His temple doth everyone speak of His glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood, yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. Now with that read, please take notice of John chapter 10, most of Psalm 29 regarding the voice of the Lord. John chapter 10, starting with verse 25. Jesus answered them, I told you and you believe not. The works that I do in My Father's name, they bear witness of Me, but ye believe not, because ye are not of My sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. Let's bow our heads there and pray. Now, Father, we come to You this morning with humble hearts, Lord, because we know what the voice of the Lord can be, Father, and as we reflect on what the Bible says about it, I pray, Lord, that You might help us to be able to hear Your voice this morning. May no one leave here with a misunderstanding about what it should mean. Father, may we be reminded of Thy wonderful works, the majesty of Your name, and mainly the work of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, may all be edified that here this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in both those passages, the voice of the Lord is that which is emphasized. The voice of the Lord is a theme that flows from the very beginning of Scripture all the way to the very end. And when you study man's response to that voice, you find this, the entire spectrum of things. You find on one end all the catastrophe, all the calamity that has been much of man's existence. On the other side, you do have those noble, dignified qualities of man. And whatever is the case between those two things, including those two things, what you find is that everything that comes to man is related to what he does with the voice of the Lord. Psalm 29, you're reminded in that passage of the majestic, thundering power of God and how His voice created the heavens and the earth. God said, and it was so. That's the way it started. And I'm reminded that in creating Abraham and creating Adam and Eve, He gave to them definitive instructions. Adam heard His voice tell him what to do and what not to do. And then Abraham, not sure why, Adam promptly turned, he and Eve, and went against those instructions. And so it was in the day then after they had fallen that the voice of the Lord walked through the garden to come and fellowship with them. Adam and Eve fled from that voice, and that pretty much sums up what has been going on ever since. No matter whether man has been uncivilized in his loincloths, or whether man has been civilized just like all of us folks are with our cell phones and all that stuff, it really doesn't matter, because from one end to the other, what you find is that man still flees the voice of the Lord. And so I want to talk to you for about that here for a while this morning. I'd like to say to start with that, interestingly, when you go from the Old Testament to the New Testament, and probably expectedly by many of us, the emphasis shifts from the voice of the Lord God Almighty to the voice of Jesus Christ, which is probably, again, not a surprise to many of us, but you know, throughout the Scriptures, what is always emphasized are those Holy Scriptures, the Word of God, the words of God. And the voice that gets emphasized, if you're looking at the actual voice, from the Old Testament to the New, the voice that's emphasized becomes the voice of Jesus Christ. Now, a couple of things to say about that real fast. First of all, there's no conflict in what Jesus Christ said versus what God said. Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh, and He still is God. And so there's no conflict. I'm just saying that when the Bible emphasizes the voice, when you get to the New Testament, it's Jesus Christ's voice that is emphasized. That only shows you that the great truth that there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Now, the other thing that I know that may come to your mind is that I know that some Bibles have red letters where they mark the things that Jesus Christ said. Well, if Jesus Christ said it, then it was His voice. He obviously used His voice to say it. I don't argue or dispute that whatsoever. I'm just saying that there are times you look through the Bible, and when the Bible emphasizes the voice, that's what we're going to be looking at here this morning. Now, He said there in John 10, He said, "My sheep hear My voice." The title of the message this morning is "Hear My Voice." And we'll be talking some to lost folks, but we'll also be talking to saved folks this morning for a while. I will give you a warning. There is all kinds of fanciful notions about hearing the voice of God or the voice of the Lord. I know you know that. There's all kinds of delusions and fabrications. Every charlatan that ever walked the face of the earth says that he heard the voice of God or that the Lord Jesus Christ told him to do this, that, or the other. And I just want to say that a lot of that stuff is nothing but delusive fabrication. Just for the record, because here's how I know it. What Jesus Christ emphasized, He emphasized that men should write what He said. He said, "These things are written that you may believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." The Bible says that in the Bible, the Lord left us all things that pertain to life and godliness. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. You didn't get shortchanged when the Lord spoke something and then ordered it written down. You're given the Bible. That's really how you know the voice of the Lord today. And it was written so that you could be perfect, perfectly, thoroughly, and truly furnished to do everything that God had you to do. So that's my stipulation this morning. I say, hear His voice with the understanding that what the voice you're going to hear is heard through the Holy Scripture. Now, I wanted to point out some things to you here this morning where Jesus Christ's voice was emphasized. And I find only six major things. It's worthwhile to go through them. It's a benefit to lost folks. It's a benefit to saved folks. Would you turn with me, first of all, to the book of Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. Keep your Bible handy this morning. Be turning a little bit more as we go along. But Matthew chapter 27. The things that were emphasized in the New Testament, the voice of Jesus Christ. "Hear My voice," He said, "My sheep hear My voice." I advise everyone to hear His voice. It says there in Matthew chapter 27, if you go down to verse 45, Jesus Christ has been crucified. He is now at the point of death. "And now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, "This man calleth for Elias," that is, Elijah. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, "Let let be, let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And there he died. Now, that is the voice of proclamation. That is Jesus Christ proclaiming from the cross the truth of the Word of God. And we have to begin here. You see, contrary to what you will hear in the world, Jesus Christ did not come to show you how to live, at least not primarily. And by the way, He didn't come to show you how to die. Jesus Christ came to die for your sins and mine. And if you miss that, I mean, last words are much, there's much weight given to last words of men, both saints and sinners sometimes, and folks try to record those things and note those things. I'm telling you, if you don't understand the last words of Jesus Christ, you don't understand what He did. Now, I say last words with the understanding that I know Christ rose from the dead. And I know that He is still the faithful witness. But as far as the last mortal words of Jesus Christ, if you don't understand the last things He said, you don't understand. Now, with that said, I would have a couple things for you to note. This is the voice of proclamation. This is Jesus Christ declaring with a loud voice from the cross some things. I would take note, first of all, if you will, notice verse 46. Jesus cried with a loud voice, and again down in verse 50, He cried again with a loud voice. This is not a tormented, now delusive man muttering and murmuring under his breath. These things are declared with a loud voice. That'll be important later. Just remember, it's a loud voice. And being a loud voice with a bunch of Hebrews standing around and listening to what He said, it's still very interesting that they still misunderstood. Look in verse 46. He said with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," translated, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Some of them that stood there when they heard it said, "This man calleth for Elias." Now, I'm not a Hebrew speaker by nature, and couldn't understand Hebrews standing around speaking if I had to. But it's rather remarkable, is it not, that those Jews that stood around hearing Him speak, understanding Hebrew, still misunderstood what He said. So you better be careful, even with words, that you think you understand. Because I'll tell you, a lot of folks know some things that Jesus said, and they still misunderstand. In this passage, it said, He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" I want to say, first of all, if there was something the voice of proclamation proclaimed, it was suffering. I'll tell you what must have come through that voice. It was not a quiet voice, but what must have clearly come through was how much Jesus Christ was hurting. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Hurting physically, but also hurting spiritually, because the Lord God Himself turned His back on Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus Christ was the sin bearer. Because the Bible says, "Surely He," Christ, "hath borne our griefs. He hath carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. With His stripes we're healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way." Importantly, "but the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all." Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ suffered for your sins. I don't mean He just suffered for your sins. I mean He suffered in your place. You deserved what He got. Your sins were laid on Him to bear, and God poured His wrath out on Jesus Christ because of your sins that were poured out on Him. The Bible says that He was once offered to bear the sins of many. Not just to forgive them, not just to suffer for them, but to bear them. The Bible says in yet another place, 1 Peter 2, He His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree. This is the voice. This is a voice of proclamation. It's Christ saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? With a loud voice, not a quiet one. It was a voice of suffering. It was a sacrifice, suffering for our sins. It was a substitutionary sacrifice. I belonged on the cross, and He took my beating from God. He took my eternal punishment in hell from God for my sins and my place, so He could satisfy God so that I wouldn't have to satisfy God by suffering forever from my sins. If you want to get down to salvation, it's really that simple. Jesus Christ suffered for your sins, so receive Him. If you don't want to receive Him, you get to suffer for your own. And it won't take 6 hours. And it won't take 6 years. And it won't take 6 millennia. It'll take forever. Because you sinned against a holy God. It is a voice of proclamation. It's a voice of suffering. Take your Bible, turn with me to Luke chapter 23. I wanted to show you this as well. This is still the voice of proclamation. This is still a loud voice from the cross crying out. Notice where He said in Luke chapter 23, excuse me, down verse 46. Luke chapter 23, verse 46. And when Jesus had cried again, notice, with a loud voice, He said, Father, unto Thy hands I commend my spirit. Having said thus, He gave up the ghost. And there again you have an account of His death, with Him saying slightly different words in this case. I believe He said all these words. But He said these words with a loud voice. He said, Father, unto Thy hands I commend my spirit. Now that's submission. That's the Lord Jesus Christ trusting God's hands to take care of something. And I'm reminded along that way that Jesus Christ lived a submitted life. Not too many Christians these days are terribly submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ's will. But Jesus Christ said to His Father, it's not my will, but Thine be done. Knowing full well what was coming, knowing full well He was going to suffer for your sins and mine, and the sins of the whole world, sins that He had never even considered doing. Consider the worst sins you can imagine, that maybe you haven't done, that maybe somebody else has done, and know that the Lord Jesus Christ suffered for those sins. And He did it willingly. He said this, He said, I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus Christ was not dragged to the cross, kicking and screaming. Jesus Christ laid down on the cross and let those men drive nails through His hands and feet. He had at His disposal 12 legions of angels. He could have blown them away. He could have said, I am that I am, and blown them over like He did in the garden. But He didn't. He laid down on the cross and died for your sins and mine. It was not only an element of a sacrifice, a substitutionary sacrifice, it was an element of submission. I recall, when you stop and think about it, think about Abraham being called on to sacrifice his son Isaac on Mount Moriah. And think about the fact that he loaded up Isaac with with that wood. And Isaac was hauling that wood, and Abraham was walking behind him with a hard and heavy heart. And finally, Isaac turns around and looks and says, Dad, he said, the wood's here, but where's the lamb? He said, my God shall provide Himself a lamb. Amen? And somewhere along that process, that young man who was 15, 16, 17, his father, by this point is 115, 16, or 17, don't tell me that Isaac couldn't have gotten away from Abraham if he wanted to. But apparently, just like the Lord Jesus Christ, Isaac submitted himself to his father's will. And thank God the Lord did not require that sacrifice. Praise God for that. But I just want to say, it's the voice of proclamation. It's a loud voice. It's about a sacrifice. It's about submission. And that's not all. One last thing along this line. Look in John chapter 19 real fast. John 19. John chapter 19 and go down to verse 30. The best part yet. Now in this passage, it's not mentioned that he spoke with a loud voice, but considering that he had spoken with a loud voice just before giving up the ghost in the two other passages, I hold this was a loud voice. Notice verse 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished," and bowed his head and gave up the ghost. I would argue that he said that with a loud voice. With a loud voice, he said, "Father, under thy hands I commend my spirit," right? He said, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," with a loud voice. Why not? "It is finished," with a loud voice. That's the best part ever. That's the completion of it. He didn't say, "It's almost done. There's only a little bit left to be done." He said, "It is finished." And ladies and gentlemen, we are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power. Jesus Christ finished the work of your salvation. And that's why you're called upon not to get baptized to get saved, not to do good works to get saved, not to do a dozen other things to get saved. You're called upon to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Because the work is done. Now, after you get saved, there's workmanship. The Lord's going to work on you. But there's nothing left to be done for your salvation because it is finished. The voice of proclamation with a loud voice. "I am dying for the sins of the whole world. I'm dying for that guy and that lady and that guy. And if they will receive me, it's a done deal." A loud voice. I wanted to show you something else as we move along then with the next thing that is emphasized about His voice. Look in Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, there's just not that many times, although your Bible is, your New Testament, the first four books and some of the rest are filled with red letters where Jesus Christ said some things. It is only so many times that the Bible emphasizes that that was the voice of Jesus Christ. And by studying that voice, you get to see some things. Look in Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, and talking about Saul in verse 1. "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest, desired him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way," that is, the Christian way, "whether they be men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus. Suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. He fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, 'Saul, Saul.'" Notice the voice said it unto him. "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" He said, "Who art thou, Lord?" The Lord said, "I am Jesus." This was Jesus' voice, is that right? "Whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." Okay? Now he heard a voice there. Now remember Paul. Paul is successful. He is ambitious. And he is religious. And as a religious man, he is serving his God with all the zeal and all the sincerity that anybody ever could. Paul was a rising star among the Pharisees. Paul served God in his own way, according to the Jewish way, with all of his heart. He had an excellent education, had been educated under Gamaliel. He had excellent credentials. His work was approved by his peers. His work was approved by his superiors. And he was doing very well where he was. And there came a day where, blam, he hears a voice, gets knocked to the ground, hears a voice, and that voice said, "Saul, Saul," verse 4, "why persecutest thou me?" The voice came and said, "What are you doing, and why are you doing it?" Now, along that line, I would argue that this was a loud voice. If you'll go down to verse 7, you find that the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no man. So, It was a loud enough voice to knock him to the ground. He's on the ground, and the men round about him hear it, okay? So it's a loud voice. And that loud voice says, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? What are you doing? Why are you doing it?" Well, that voice has to be answered. There's just no arguing back with it. On the average day, to the average guy that walked up to him and demanded an answer, Paul would have said, "Get lost, punk." But not to this voice. Not to the voice that was accompanied by a bright light that knocked him to the ground. Not by a voice that said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And this is the voice, folks, this is the voice of inquiry. This is the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Creator of the universe, the King of kings and Lord of lords, and He asks you a question. What are you doing and why? Right? That's a great reminder for us. It's a great reminder for us because it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. It's a great reminder because Jesus Christ cried with a loud voice from off a cross. And He cried there in a loud voice. And here He cries in a loud voice. And it's a reminder to me and you that every man shall give account of himself to God. Saul had to give account of himself. Why persecutest thou me? You have to answer. There's no way to avoid it. Bible says in Revelation chapter 20 that I saw a great white throne and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. It's not just the voice. There's a scary face involved too. The Bible says that when men stand, lost men stand before the great white throne judgment, that by that time the earth and the heaven will have fled away. Have fled away from the face of Him that sat on that throne. I'm reminded when Jesus Christ comes back at Armageddon that men will run and try to dive under the rocks of the mountains to avoid looking into the face of the Lamb. Part of it's the face, but part of it is the voice. And ladies and gentlemen, there is no avoiding that voice. It is appointed unto men once to die. And after you die, you go to judgment and you have to face a Savior that proclaimed with a loud voice His salvation for you off a cross. And if you didn't respond, then you'll have to respond to this voice. No excuses. No argumentation. No remonstrating. No debate. No lying. No stalling. No prevarication. No backtalk. And nobody's sassy. And He says, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And the men round about Him stood stunned. They were astonished because they heard the voice, but didn't see the man. But He said it with a loud voice. It's a reminder that one day you will face a voice of inquiry. Not just a voice of proclamation, but a voice of inquiry. You will give answer for what you did and why and what your motives were. There's something else I'd point out to you. Look in John chapter 11. John chapter 11. John chapter 11, verse 43. Lazarus has died, and the Lord Jesus Christ comes to the graveside, and this is what transpires. John 11, 43. Notice, and when He had thus had spoken, He cried with, notice, a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus came forth, brother. Lazarus got out of the grave and came forth. Jesus Christ said with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." That's the voice of the resurrection. Amen? Roll backwards in John to John chapter 5 just for a sec. John 5. And notice that's not limited just to Lazarus, that one day all men will hear a voice from the grave, if nowhere else. John chapter 5, go down to verse 25. John 5, 25. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, When the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. But as the Father hath life in Himself, so hath He given to the Son to have life in Himself. And hath given Him authority to execute judgment also, because He is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear His voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil to the resurrection of damnation. But it says there that they will all hear His voice. Is there any question that that voice is spoken with a loud voice? It's loud enough that everybody hears it. Loud enough that everybody hears it. And you have to come out. You come out to judgment. And those that go to judgment will either go on to heaven or they will go on to everlasting contempt and damnation. With that said, I just wanted to say along that line, you know, you wonder about some of the lost one day when they hear that voice and they're called to come and give account before the great white throne judgment. I'm wondering if any of them might say, wait, I know that voice. I heard that voice one time. And they will wish that they had done something with it. Because Jesus Christ has spoken with a voice of proclamation. He told the world what He was doing on the cross. It's important that you understand what He did. Because there's coming a day you'll be called out of the grave, if nothing else, to stand before God, and you're going to go, I know that voice. For those of us that are saved, the Bible says that He'll call us by name. And we'll get to say, I know that voice. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the voice of resurrection. There is a resurrection coming. I know you don't see it. I understand that you don't see it. I understand that there's nothing to see. I heard a recent story about somebody that died, and they died in a nursing home. And it was the wing of the nursing home where, you know, lots of people die. And basically they have motion sensors and stuff, you know, around so that any of those folks managing to get out of bed or immediately alerts the nurses. Well, this lady died, but when they reviewed the motion sensors, there was a sensor that went off about the time she died. And so you say, well, is it possible that, you know, something happened in that room when that lady died, that maybe the motion sensor detected the soul and spirit of that lady leaving? I don't know anything about that. I know you cannot go by what somebody says happened or by what you may experience. I'll tell you what you can go by. You have to go by the Word of God. And according to the Word of God, there comes a day where the Lord Jesus Christ with His voice calls men to rise from their graves and face judgment, either to everlasting life or everlasting contempt. Hear His voice. And you will. And you will. Have you responded to the voice? Have you responded to the voice of proclamation from the cross? The one that suffered for your sins and died and bled and rose again the third day. Have you responded to that voice? Now, we now turn to something else along this line I want to show you. The Bible says, my sheep hear my voice. We're not done with the voice of the Lord yet. Look in John. Book of John chapter 18. John chapter 18, we've reviewed the voice of proclamation. That's a loud voice. We have reviewed the voice of inquiry. What are you doing and why? That's a loud voice. We reviewed the voice of resurrection. That'll be a loud voice. Even folks in the grave hear it. But then there's this. Look in John chapter 18. John chapter 18, the Lord Jesus Christ is standing before Pilate, before His crucifixion. It says in John chapter 18, verse 35, Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. And by the way, that's saying that now His kingdom is not from here, but one day it will be. By the way, that now is removed from a lot of new Bibles, just for the record. Verse 37, Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I'm a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. There's the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. The voice of truth. Now, remember, in proclaiming what He was doing from the cross, He spake with a loud voice. When calling upon Saul to answer, it's a loud voice. When calling the dead from the graves, it's a loud voice. But you know, as I stand here and read this, in verse 37, Jesus Christ is most likely, I can't picture it, speaking to Pilate with a loud voice. I doubt very seriously that when Pilate in verse 37 answered and said, Art thou a king then? That Jesus' answer to him was something like, Thou sayest that I am a king! I doubt it. I doubt that he said, Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice! I doubt it. I doubt it. He's being judged. He's standing before a king. Are you awake? Boy, that was impressive. The truth of the matter is that he would have said it with a quiet voice. He would have said, You say I'm a king. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Truth is, it was a quiet voice. In fact, when you go and study Mark chapter 15, you find that for most of his interview with Pilate, Jesus Christ stood mute. Yes, he answered a couple of questions here, but for the most part, Jesus Christ stood mute before Pilate. In fact, before Herod, he answered not a word and stood entirely mute. So what's the point, Brother Stevens? Well, the point is, when Jesus Christ answered Pilate, he answered Pilate about hearing the voice of truth. In a quiet voice. Now, I should stop there to say, just so that you don't, and I know I got loud a second ago. I have a reason to. The Bible says that wisdom crieth without, that she lifteth up her voice in the streets. There's a time to be loud. For instance, it says, Cry aloud to the prophets, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Preachers and prophets are called sometimes to lift their voices. And Jesus Christ had lifted His. But when it comes to the voice of truth, Jesus Christ wasn't standing, yelling in Herod and Pilate's face. No, it was a much quieter voice. And when it gets down to it, ladies and gentlemen, it's not about the loudness of it all. It's whether or not the truth speaks to you. This is the voice of truth. And Jesus Christ speaks that truth, as far as I can see, with a quiet voice. The Bible says, Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. He said, I'm going to send you a comforter. I'm going to send you the Spirit of truth to testify of what is the truth. He will guide and lead you into all truth. My Father is a God of truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I'm saying this to say, it would be a mistake to expect the voice of God to thunder from on high to show you the way of salvation and to show you the truth. A lot of folks sit around a lot of time, spend an awful lot of time, wasting an awful lot of time, wanting God to do something magnificent and wondrous and powerful and thunderous. And the bitter fact is, Jesus Christ speaks with a voice of truth. And more often than not, it's quiet. I recall this illustration to you from the Old Testament. Elijah was a great man of God. He defeated 850 prophets of Baal one day. Then got scared that night because Jezebel threatened to take his life. fled to the wilderness, and there he got some rest and wound up being called down to the mount. And when he stood before the mount, the Lord said, "What doest thou here, Elijah? What are you doing here?" He said, "Well, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. I have served you faithfully, but the children of Israel have fallen back. They have built altars. They have followed other gods, and I am the only one left. They've all fallen away, so it's just you might as well just kill me because none of them are right anymore." And the Lord said, "You stand right there." And the Bible says that as Moses or Abraham, Elijah stood there, that there was a great wind that was so strong that it busted the rocks. And then it says, but the Lord wasn't in the wind. And then as he stood there, there was an earthquake. And the earthquake busted the rocks. And then it said that the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. And then there was a fire. And then it said the Lord wasn't in the fire. But then it said, and then there came to him a still small voice saying, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" Now, that still small voice. I didn't understand that for a lot of years. And fairly recently got some light on it. I had always read it as being a still, comma, small voice. That is, a voice that was small and a voice that was still. Then I realized I had misread it. There's no comma. It's a still small voice. That voice had always been small. And when Elijah got up to that mount with the wind and the earthquake and the fire, it was still small. In other words, the lesson is, for a long time, God had been speaking to Elijah with a small voice about this issue that he had of self-importance and complaining about everybody else being backslidden and how he was the only one doing right. And over, for a long time, God had dealt with him with that small voice. And now he gave him the wind and he gave him the earthquake and he gave him the fire. And God wasn't in any of that, but God was in the voice. The small voice that was still small. It had been still before and small before. It was small now. Now, the lesson behind all that, ladies and gentlemen, I've got news for you. If you're a Christian, you know what's wrong with you. You know what God wants from you. He's told you the truth about yourself. He's revealed it to you. You read the Bible. You get preaching. And you can come to my office and you can sit down and counsel with me and try to cover some things and say and try to present a different set of cards. And in the end, you may deceive me. But you don't deceive God. Because God spoke to you about your sin and your weakness. And the truth of the matter is, He spoke to you quietly about it. It's the voice of truth. And it's a quiet voice. The bitter fact is, we all know what our problems are. And you know what you need to do? What Elijah should have done. You need to get right. It's the voice of truth. And if you're waiting for Jesus Christ to thunder from on high and write in giant letters in your backyard some message, it's not going to happen. You're going to get it reading the Word of God. You're going to get it in preaching and teaching. Jesus Christ is not going to take you by your lapels, pick you up off the floor and say, "Do you hear me?" He doesn't do it that way. Now, He may chastise you. He may give you a spanking. That's true. The bitter truth is, the truth, more often than not, comes in a quiet voice. I have something else I wanted you to see. Look in John chapter 10. John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Now he said, "My sheep hear my voice." Jesus Christ said that. Jesus Christ spoke from the cross with a voice of proclamation. He spoke to Saul, a voice of inquiry. Those were loud voices. Speaks to those in the grave with a loud voice, the voice of resurrection. Then he speaks to folks in a voice of truth. And that truth is not always a resounding drum. It's not a trumpet blast, at least as far as the volume of it's concerned. More often than not, the Lord God has dealt with you about your sins and about your weaknesses. And you need to deal with those things. And he's not going to come along and go, lightning. Doesn't work that way. He told you in a quiet voice, and you need to take care of it. Notice this, John chapter 10, and notice verse 3. John 10, 3. Let's start with verse 1. Sorry. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. I want to talk to you this morning for just a minute now about the voice of the shepherd. It says in verse 3, to him the porter openeth. And notice the sheep. The sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. The shepherd doesn't spend his time screaming at the sheep. He doesn't take a stick and beat and wail on the sheep, screaming at the top of his lungs. He'll panic the sheep. He doesn't thunder from on high to speak to the sheep, because sheep are generally pretty docile, kind of spooky little animals that aren't really out to harm anybody, but they're just easily panicked, and they're not the smartest things on earth either, by the way. I don't know if you know this or not, but in the wintertime, a sheep will die because he has snot running out his nose, and if he's not careful, he'll let his nose freeze to the ground. So the shepherd's always out moving them around so that they don't freeze to the ground, because that's how dumb a sheep is. Thank you very much. Anyway. He said, one thing the sheep does, my sheep hear my voice. And it says there in verse 3, to the shepherd of the sheep, to him the porter openeth. The sheep hear his voice. He calleth his own sheep by name. He leadeth them out. Now, Jesus Christ speaks with a voice of truth, and it's a quiet voice. He doesn't scream it. He doesn't thunder it. He doesn't do it with clashing of drums and pans and stuff. It's a quiet thing. And the Bible says in chapter 10, verse 3, that they hear him. He leads them out. Look in chapter 10, verse 4. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. You'll never be asked to go somewhere that he didn't go. That's why, as we talked about this morning in Sunday school, when it comes to suffering, when it comes to trial and trouble, he never asks you to go where he won't go and hasn't already been. But it says there in verse 4, he putteth forth his own sheep, goeth before them, and the sheep follow him. The sheep don't go first, and then he follows them. He goes first, and the sheep hear his voice, and they follow him. It says in verse 4, for they know his voice. Now that's worth looking at. They know his voice. They will not follow the voice of a stranger. Verse 5, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of a stranger. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking this morning about the voice of Jesus Christ. Do you know his voice? You may have been looking for some display from the heavens, some thunderous report, some clashing of drums, bagpipes, loud noise, miraculous signs, that sort of thing. You're looking for the wrong thing. You've been given a Bible, and you're more likely to learn something in the quiet of your study or your bedroom, kneeling down by a bed with an open Bible, or sitting before preaching and teaching of the Bible. You're not going to learn anything by waiting for something thunderous and miraculous to happen. Elijah learned that lesson. It's a small voice. It's still small. It always has been small. It still is small. The Lord thundereth, back in Psalm 29. But Jesus Christ doesn't speak with a thunderous voice to his sheep. He doesn't want to panic the sheep. He speaks with a still, small voice. I want to show you one last passage. Revelation chapter 3, and then I'll be done, all right? Now, how are you doing? I mean, really, how are you doing? Maybe you have expected it to be different. Maybe you don't like conviction. Maybe you don't like it when the Lord sticks His finger in the center of your chest and makes you feel bad and makes you feel guilty and puts you under conviction. Maybe you don't like it. I can just say that none of us really like it. But that's how He speaks. He speaks with a still, small, quiet voice. He doesn't get in your face with your lapels in hand, pick your feet up off the floor so they're dangling, slamming you against the wall, screaming, spitting in your face. You've been given the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. You've been given a Bible. You have preaching, and you have teaching. You've been given the Spirit of God that dwells in you. He bears witness to the truth. He guides and leads into all truth. Don't expect a display of thunder. Don't expect a display of lightning. So how are you doing? He says, "My sheep hear my voice." How you doing? You hear it? You listening? Doing something with it? Elijah went through a lot of time and didn't do anything with it. It's a still small voice, Elijah. It's the same voice I've been speaking to you in for months, maybe for years. And you've still got this attitude, and if you're not careful, you're going to lose your job. And he did. He lost his prophetic office because he couldn't get it straight. He says, "My sheep hear my voice." How you doing? You don't need me to diagnose your sin. That's already been diagnosed. The Holy Spirit, in all likelihood, has already showed you what your problem is. In all likelihood, He has already probably shown you what will happen if you continue down a certain path that you're on, that this sin's going to grow and develop, and it's going to invade other parts of your life. If you're not careful, this sin will destroy you. Only He's not in your face with His fist in your face, pumping and purple-faced and screaming, because He speaks with a still small voice. The voice of truth is small. He says, my sheep hear my voice. It's the shepherd's voice. It's somebody that's not going to spend his time screaming and yelling and thundering from on high, lest he panic the sheep and they run off bleeding. B-L-E-E-T, not bleeding, bleating. How you doing? Look at one more. Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. Let me show you the voice of our friend. We heard a voice of proclamation. Boy, that's loud. The voice of inquiry. Boy, that's demanding and loud. The voice of resurrection. Even the grave, folks in the grave hear that. But the voice of truth, the voice of the shepherd, they're quiet, unimpassioned voices. And then there's this, Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." He wants supper. He wants to sit down with you to supper. He wants fellowship. So he comes, he's a friend, and he comes to a friend's door, and he knocks. And he says, "Kyle, you there?" He doesn't say, "Here it comes again. Kyle, you there?" And what a friend does. He says, "Hey, Kyle, you there? If any man hears his voice, he'll come in and sup with them." Right? He wants fellowship. He wants supper. He wants to sit down with you. It's the voice of a friend. He's not screaming. If you're a Christian, if you're a sheep, "My sheep hear my voice, and I don't have to scream." How you doing? Let's bow our heads and pray. Now, Father, we pray here for somebody this morning that might have never trusted Christ as their Savior. I hope they'll listen to the loud voice from a cross that declared how He had suffered and bled and died, how He suffered the eternal wrath of God to be their substitute, to give them an eternal gift. I hope they'll remember that there's a loud voice one day that will inquire and require an answer for their actions, and that we will all give account of ourselves and our sins unto God. I pray, Father, that we will remember that there is a loud voice that cries out so loud that the folks in the grave wake up. But Father, in the meantime, those of us that are saved, it's the voice of truth that matters. For somebody that's not saved, it's the voice of truth that matters. That voice is not a loud, mad, enraged, screaming, thundering voice. He says, my sheep hear my voice and they'll follow me. I'll lead them out and they'll follow me. That's not a loud, screaming, panic-inspiring voice. And we're reminded that it's the voice of a friend who comes and knocks at a door quietly, says his friend's name quietly, desirous of fellowship, desirous to sit down to supper. Pray, Lord, that you might please help us see these things. May we generally and genuinely, sincerely assess how we're doing. He said, my sheep, hear my voice. And we should. We really should. And we should follow that shepherd. Please help us, we pray. In Jesus' name. Number 125, let's look this way. First stanza said, I hear the Savior say. We sang a song earlier, I heard the voice of Jesus say. Nobody's suggesting you hear the voice of Jesus Christ audibly. I think I should have made that plain this morning. But I want you to know, the voice of truth speaks in a quiet, insistent voice. Have you responded to the truth? Truth of the gospel? Truth about yourself? Have you responded? He said, my sheep, saved people, hear my voice. And he doesn't speak through a megaphone and with a microphone. He speaks in a calm voice to a bunch of sheep. How you doing? Do you hear him? Do you hear him? It's the voice of a friend. Stands at the door and knocks. Wants fellowship. Wants to sit down to supper. Do you know what that kind of fellowship is? Before a Bible and in prayer. Do you know what kind of fellowship that is? How are you doing? Give you an opportunity to come this morning. Is there anybody here? It's never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Maybe you hadn't realized that one day you're going to answer for every idle word that proceeds out of your mouth. That one day you will stand and have to answer for your sins unless you get under the blood of Jesus Christ. Unless you get saved. Is there anybody here that's never trusted Christ? Would you come? Let us show you privately out of a Bible how to be saved. Last stanza, very last. Amen. Again, we'll have communion tonight. Regular prayer meeting at 5:30 if you can come. Look forward to seeing you here. We'll be dismissed in prayer. Brother Darling, Dave, would you pray for us?
Heavenly Father, thank you for what we heard today. And Lord, pray and help us to always listen to that still small voice. Help us be close enough to you in fellowship that we can hear it. And Lord, help us be obedient. We do hear it and do your will in our lives. Pray and deal each of us individually and help us, Lord, strengthen us with the fight ahead. If there's anybody here that's uncertain of their eternity, Lord, pray they not leave this building until they make it sure.
Amen.
And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Look forward to seeing you tonight. Good afternoon.